Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying relationships, interacting with others. In this session, we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, succeeding at marriage. The Bible has much to say to married couples and provides some real-life examples to observe. Let's stop by the life of Boaz and Ruth for a few minutes and see how they got to the place of success in marriage. In fact, their romance moved quickly from dating into marriage. A little background, Ruth was a young woman who experienced some tough times. Her husband died and she moved from Moab to Israel, from her country and culture, to a completely new life in Bethlehem. The same Bethlehem where Jesus was born and where King David was born. Complicating matters for Ruth was her mother-in-law. Naomi's husband died, and then both of her sons died, including Ruth's husband. Naomi suffered a prolonged time of depression, and Ruth stuck with her through it. Eventually, Ruth attracted the eye of Boaz, and they began to pay attention to each other. Naomi encouraged Ruth to move the relationship forward. Using a strange custom, Ruth proposed to Boaz. Yes, she asked him to marry her. Boaz accepted, but had to work out a few custom duties of his own to make it happen. After she popped the question, Boaz sent Ruth home to Naomi, but not empty-handed. And that's the point where we stop by for a visit. Look at Ruth chapter 3, verse 15 down to verse 18. Ruth 3:15. Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, she measured 6 ephahs. He measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. So when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For this man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." But we can stop here for our purposes today. The rest of the story involves the community process of requirements for Boaz to marry Ruth, and the conclusion that jumps ahead a year or so to a scene of Naomi rocking their child. And by the way, that child is the grandfather of King David. Just consider with me a few important relationship issues seen in this passage. 3 issues that are crucial if you want to succeed at marriage. First of all, build a relationship with your spouse's family. Verse 17, "And she said, 'These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Why did Boaz say, "Don't go back empty-handed"? It was because Boaz realized that the relationship between Ruth and Naomi would be a key part of his relationship with Ruth. You can't say, "Well, I married him, but I didn't marry his mother." You can't exclude her father or her brother from the Christmas gatherings. You can't hope the little sister who's a family problem will just disappear one day. She won't. That sister will be there forever, and she will affect your marriage. You married a spouse, and you get the whole family. It can be a shock to think of spending every Thanksgiving with the people around that table. Oh, and guess what? The young lady you're dating is going to grow up to look amazingly like her mother. She might even act like her mother. He might grow up to be the spitting image of his father in looks and actions. When Boaz sent Ruth home with 6 measures of barley, it was as much for Naomi as it was for Ruth. He was very smart. He had already been making sure Ruth got a lot more of the harvest than she would have. This gift was a signal to Naomi, I'll take you and love you if I could just get Ruth. He was nurturing a relationship with Ruth's family. Maybe you're thinking, but I really don't like my mother-in-law. I really don't like my father-in-law. His sister is more than I can take. Her brother is not my favorite guy in the world. If Boaz was here, he'd say, you think Naomi was lovable? Don't you remember she asked her to name be changed to Bitter? She stayed in the house and cried while Ruth went out and worked. She wasn't the most pleasant person to be around. But Boaz knew if he got Ruth, he got Naomi. And he was investing in Ruth by being generous to Naomi. One of the things your children should see is how you love people despite their differences in actions or in values when they're in the family. And by the way, your children will model parts of your marriage in their marriage. Showing love to the entire family is the only option for succeeding in marriage. Second, learn all you can about the opposite sex. Verse 18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter of this day. The man will not rest until he has concluded the matter. How did they only know that? There's only one way. She was married to Elimelech and worked to understand what made men tick. She watched it from a distance and she saw it up close. She was reading Boaz like a book because she made the effort to learn. Have you made that effort? Most married couples resist learning to read their spouse. He thinks she'll just learn his language. She figures he'll eventually give up and learn how to talk to her. They're both wrong. You've got to learn how the opposite sex works. Talking with older, successful couples about their marriage can be helpful. Remember, they also had to learn a strange language. Oh yeah, the results of personality profiles done on couples reveal something important to learning what makes the opposite sex tick. In 90% of marriages surveyed, the spouses are dramatically opposite. He's quiet, she's talkative. She makes decisions easily, he doesn't. She's a servant, he's a people person. He's a details man, she's a woman with dreams and creative ideas. Yes, opposites attract. Warning. The couples who concentrate on the differences, trying to get the other person to change, trying to get the other person to give in, their relationship goes downhill fast. One marriage counselor wrote, successful couples look at the differences and say, hey, isn't that great? We're different. It'll never be boring around here. And when we work as a team, we've always got a strong point out there. I'll do the ideas, you do the details. I'll mingle with people, you make the decision. As a team, we can't be beat. Those couples are learning about each other. They succeed or fail together. In fact, over time, other people usually don't think of one without thinking of the other. Wherever life takes them, success depends on doing it together. And then third, understand that marriage is a Understand that marriage is a 100-100 proposition. Look at verse 16. So when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her. One of the greatest myths about marriage is that it's 50-50. A 50-50 proposition. If you meet your spouse halfway, you'll be successful. However, like much of human wisdom, it's the contrary of biblical truth. The Bible teaches marriage is 100-100. A 100-100 proposition. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another in the fear of God. You must willingly go every inch of every frustrating and exhausting mile to make a marriage work. Boaz was willing to pay the price. Take the risk to give Ruth 100%. What was his reward? She gave 100%. They experienced joy, purpose, and fulfillment. Boaz and Ruth had a son. They found fulfillment and purpose as a couple and as parents. Together, they also watched Naomi come out of her depression. This is the problem with couples living together. They're skipping out on the commitment. They're sharing the same bed, they're sharing the same house, they're sharing the same bills, but they're not sharing the same commitments. And anyone who thinks that doesn't matter is just fooling themselves. Maybe your marriage needs a redeemer. Maybe your relationship with a friend or a family member needs a redeemer. The truth is, everyone needs a redeemer, and his name is Jesus. Do you have Jesus as your personal Savior? Are you submitting to him as your Lord, your Master? Is he ruling over all your relationships? You answer those questions, and you have a great day.